At least 16 people are injured by an explosion on a bus in Jerusalem. It's not immediately clear if the explosion is terror-related. At least 15 people were injured after another bus nearby was damaged, with two people in critical condition. The chairman of the Republican National Committee says he will not be bullied by Donald Trump. USA Radio's John DeMaster has the story.
There's no room for threatening the delegates or the convention or anybody that would be going to our national convention.
That's Ryan Priebus on NBC's Meet the Press. He says the GOP presidential frontrunner's claims that the GOP nominating process is rigged against him are without basis. Priebus says nothing is rigged, changed, or altered, and that the same rules have been in place for more than a century. Priebus said the nominating process can be reformed, but it would have to be done state by state. I'm John DeMaster.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphreys, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com so special?
Well, Rusty, I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, WesternJournalism.com. That's WesternJournalism.com.
Some of the Boston Marathon participants are running to support causes. The Heather Abbott Foundation, started by a Boston bombing survivor who suffered limb loss, helps people get prosthetics they need.
I think Heather's Foundation is great. I'm really excited to raise money to allow other people to have their prosthetics.
More than 30,000 runners are laced up for today's 26.2-mile race that has some of the strictest entry requirements in the world. Security remains tight at the event, as it has since the 2013 finish line bombing that killed three and injured more than 260 people. At least 5,000 police officers are deployed along the route, and the FBI has also put security measures in place for today. The area has also been declared a drone-free zone. In addition to the marathon, it's Patriots Day in Boston, the city also celebrating with a traditional Red Sox matinee at Fenway Park. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome. The weather this afternoon is going to be sunny with a high near 79. North winds around 7 miles per hour. Tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low around 49. West winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm after midnight. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 70. That means wife's going to make me cut the grass. North winds 5 to 15 miles an hour. Tuesday night it'll be clear with a low around 39. Northwest winds 8 to 14 miles an hour. Wednesday will be sunny with a high near 65. And the north wind 6 to 9 miles an hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 40. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is the 100, we're on the air courtesy of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. This is NAMI's Hour, and NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I am Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Carol Ricard. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And as I've been told by someone, it's the commute is good when you only have to go from your kitchen to the living room. So, you know, but what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family who has a mental health issue or someone they know. It could be someone they work with, next door neighbor, whatever. And we do it in various ways. We teach a 12-week course called Family to Family, which is tries to enlighten people what it's like to have mental illness and what that person is living through and going through. In fact, my wife and I are got 3 more weeks. We just finished class 9, so we have 3 more weeks to finish up the class. But it also talks about medication, not drugs. and the side effects, what to do, what not to do in crisis situations, what to say sometimes when it gets a little heated around the house, and what not to say. We also have support groups. Everything we do is free. There is no charge for anything. We supply the materials and all that. And in this economy, a lot of times teachers have spent more time with kids than the parents due to the economic situation where both parents are working and they don't get home till 6:30 at night or whatever the case may be. So we have a course called Educating the Educators. So it more or less lets the teacher pick up on something that may have gone unnoticed before. And she can, you know, check it out and follow up on it. And it might be. We are very privileged today. I'm surrounded. I have 3 good-looking women with me. Boy, am I lucky.
That's why we keep on coming back, Larry.
We have Robin Marks, who is a publicity and marketing person for Princeton House. I get that right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's close. Yeah. Okay, that's good enough. We also have Susan Weinstein. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay. And she is a licensed clinical social worker, and she's the manager of Employee Assistance Program at Princeton Healthcare. And I want to thank you both for being here today.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yes, very much.
Okay, Robin, how you been since the last time we met?
Very good, Larry. It's good. Very nice. Thank you very much for having us again, and it's nice to see Carol again.
Yeah.
And Carol's getting there.
I'm in training.
It's my trainer.
I'm in trainee.
Robin, would you mind telling me brief thing about Princeton House, how it started? You know I love that story.
I know you do. thank you. Princeton House is located, the Princeton House proper is located in Princeton, and it's a 110-bed behavioral health hospital. So it has psychiatric, dual diagnosis, and addiction disorders all under one roof, and it's a hospital-based program. So when you were talking about perhaps there's a situation at home and you're worried about the safety of your loved ones, quite often they might need to come into a hospital to be stabilized, and Princeton House would be that hospital. Because the length of stay is so short, inpatient now, we started developing outpatient services that are in the territory around our facility. That really a lot more of the treatment is done. You do stabilization in the hospital and then the treatment in the outpatient programs. So we have 5 different outpatient programs. We just added one, so that's what...
You didn't want to leave it out.
I didn't want to leave it out, exactly. And all in pretty much the catchment area around Princeton House that deals the whole length of human's life from children all the way to senior issues, mm-hmm. and everything in between, drugs and alcohol, young adults, teenagers, women trauma, men and women, general psychiatric, pretty much any point that you need services, we're one of our sites would be able to help you.
Okay. That's cool.
And let me throw in a phone number.
Please do.
Okay. For our inpatient hospitalization, that number is 800-242-2550. And then for our outpatient admissions, that is 888-437-1610.
Okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, Susan.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. I ask everyone this because I just find it very interesting. Mm-hmm. How did you get into this type of work? Because I know you're a licensed clinical social worker.
True, right.
So,
right.
I mean, how did you get into that and then into this?
That's right. This is kind of a specialty niche in the field. So it's a good question. So I have been in this field for about 26, 27 years. And about 15 years ago, I had a private practice. And I specialized in seeing kids with ADHD.
Okay.
And by seeing them, it became very clear that, you know, they didn't come from nowhere. I then started working with parents who discovered why they had been such fidgety kids while I was seeing their kids, and because there's a very strong genetic component to ADHD. So I started working with their parents, and that morphed into helping them develop strategies in the workplace to stay focused and to kind of stay on task. And all of the things that kids struggle with in school, they don't go away when we hit adulthood. They kind of evolve into slightly different things, but they're pretty similar. And so then I started working with their parents and then working with parents in the workplace. And then that kind of led me into working in the employee assistance program.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always interested in finding out how people got to where they're at, you know, because sometimes I've had people sitting where you're sitting and they say, I don't know, I needed a job and this came up, you know, and I've been in it for 30 years or whatever, you know. And others say, gee, when I was a kid, I wanted to do this, you know, or that, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I just pursued it and I love it, you know. Blah. So I just am curious how people got into it, you know. Mm-hmm. Me, I was the one, I needed a job, I had four kids, a mortgage and car payments and all that. So, you know, but, you know, so that was that. But it was not something I dreamed about as a kid, you know. But what is an EAP program?
So an EAP is an employee assistance program, and it's essentially a benefit that organizations purchase to keep their employees happy and healthy. And when employees are happy and healthy, it's good for business, right? They're likely going to be more productive. Mm-hmm. They'll likely have better relationships with colleagues and managers, and that kind of trickles down to it's good for the bottom line, right? They're going to be more effective in their work. And so it's something that large organizations tend to purchase. Municipalities may purchase. Smaller organizations purchase it. Really, anybody that wants to invest in their human capital, which I can't stand that term because it makes people sound like kind of widgets, but if they want to invest in their employees and recognize that when they do that, it's going to be good for business, it can be a great benefit for any organization.
I was surprised, shows how smart I am, that you have to pay for it. I thought it was just another section of a corporation or a company or something. I didn't realize that you had to pay, that people, that companies pay for this, you know. So it just struck me as, wow, they pay for it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like weird, you know.
Yeah.
Because I just figured it was like HR or another, you know, division of the company, you know.
Right, right.
But I didn't realize that they, you know, companies paid for it.
Yeah, no, that I think that's a common misunderstanding. It's not part of the company. We're completely distinct from the company. And because part of what makes it work very well is that we are separate and we are, all of our work is confidential. And we can talk about exceptions to that later.
Right.
But because we're separate from HR and we're separate from the company, people can feel comfortable calling us.
So basically, you don't really work for Princeton.
Oh.
Or do you work for the EAP?
The EAP is a department within Princeton Healthcare.
Okay.
We have one of our accounts is Princeton Healthcare. We also have about 50 outside accounts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And there's different types of employee assistance programs, are they not? Well, would, for example, would a company that's got 20 employees would have this, wouldn't have the same assistance program as Princeton House or 3M or whatever? You know.
NEAP is a counseling program as well as some other services, but we offer individual and family counseling to employees. So whether they're at a small organization with 20 employees or a, you know, a huge Princeton healthcare system employee, we would offer that service. So that would be counseling for families, for individuals, whatever organization they work for, that would be part of the EAP benefit.
Okay. What are the different types of situations that an employee would come and you guys would cover? I mean, is it marital, drugs, mental health?
Yes.
All of the above.
Yes. So an individual employee or their household member could call us for anything related to any of those issues that you mentioned. It can be anything related to stressors from home. It can be stressors from work. It can be they themselves are struggling with substance abuse. It can be they have concerns about somebody in their family that's struggling with substance abuse. It could be somebody who has a difficult relationship with a manager. It could be somebody suffering from depression. So anything that somebody's struggling with, they can call us, and we will help. If we're not the right stop, we'll kind of handhold them till they get to the point where they get help.
Okay. But let me see if I can get this in my head. Someone comes to you and they say they have a legal problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You recommend them to go to a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have attorneys on your staff, or how does that work?
We do. There is a legal benefit and a financial benefit. So in addition to counseling and some other services, we also can refer people for legal consults or financial consults with a financial professional. We don't have them on our staff, but we have kind of a sister agency, and we can get them. That is part of the benefit. So certainly people can call about that.
Managers make suggested referrals, or supervisors, or whatever you call them. Where I worked, there were managers, and then they had supervisors, and the managers were above the supervisors. So that's why I'm saying. So when a manager speaks with an employee to make him aware of the EAP and suggests that it would be helpful, is the employee required to go because the manager suggested it might be helpful, or is it is it mandatory for him to go?
Yeah,
or
is it is a good question.
So that's a really interesting and important point to talk about, because this is a benefit available to employees. It's also a management tool available for managers or leadership in an organization. So if a manager notices, there's essentially three levels of management consults, we call them. So if a manager notices that somebody's struggling in the workplace, it may be that they come into late work repeatedly, or they're making more mistakes than usual, or they seem to be forgetting how to do things that this employee has done before. If there's anything that's a little bit of a red flag, the manager can, and it hasn't impacted their performance, then a manager can simply suggest that they use the EAP. They can say, here's a benefit. It's available to you. Please use it if you choose. And it's 100% voluntary and 100% confidential. And so that's just to, you know, remind you that that's used if their work performance hasn't been impacted.
Right.
If a manager has an employee that is struggling with something, with, you know, they wouldn't be a mental health professional, so they wouldn't, it's hard to kind of discern what they're struggling with, but they see there's something, and it's impacting their work. You know, other people, the manager can see other people trying to take up the slack, or they can see that they're making a lot of mistakes, and, you know, it's all been documented, then a manager can do what's called a formal referral, where they can require the employee to come through the EAP. And at that point, there's some signed releases of information signed, so that, I had mentioned confidentiality earlier on.
Right.
And so this gives us very limited ability to just discuss this employee, accept the referral, and evaluate them and refer them for treatment.
Go ahead.
And
because I got another question.
I know, I can see it. It's percolating.
Percolating.
So that's a formal referral. And at that point, because a release of information has been signed, we can then refer them to treatment, and we kind of monitor treatment just to make sure that they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just confirm with the manager that, yes, in fact, that employee that you referred, we've evaluated him or her, we've referred them for treatment, they're being compliant. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we should be seeing some improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one more referral.
Go ahead.
Which is if an employee, this is called a return to work evaluation. So if an employee presents at work and is either acting bizarrely or in a manager, somebody feels like there's a safety concern,
mm-hmm.
they then, of course, would be removed from the workplace, referred to us, and then we would go through kind of an extensive evaluation and refer them for treatment and really kind of very closely monitor what's going on. And they could only, they're then, since they're removed from the workplace, they would only return back to work once we confirm that there's no safety risks, no mm-hmm. concerns for safety.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that makes sense.
And mm-hmm. medical personnel would be involved as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if a manager refers someone, okay, like the second
mm-hmm.
situation mm-hmm. you suggested, what is it, a formal referral?
Exactly.
You said?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If a manager makes a formal referral, the employee has to sign a release
mm-hmm.
to go and get the help?
Not to get the help, but the release allows me as the EAP to circle back with HR or the manager to say, in fact, yes, I've seen this person and it's okay for me to disclose that because the release has been signed, and I'm seeing that person and I've referred him or her for treatment. And I'm monitoring it, and I'll let you know when that treatment process is complete.
What if the employee doesn't want you to talk to the manager about that?
That's their choice. That's always within their control, but their job is contingent on the employer has felt strongly enough that something has to happen, that they've tried everything that they can to help this employee. Mm-hmm. Nothing's working. And the employee is still experiencing a lot of problems at work. And so it's, kind of their job can be on the line.
Okay. So pretty much it's they have to agree.
If
they want to keep their job.
Yes.
And if they don't keep their job, they don't get the free
help.
Get the free help, keep your job. Yeah. I think that's a win-win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a vicious circle to me. But,
Well, I mean, they certainly don't have to go to treatment and say anything. You know, that's always their choice. They can go sit in an office and participate or not. I've almost never had, but by that point, people tend to be pretty motivated. You know, they have had enough discussions at work with employers, and they've had enough kind of come to God moments at home where they say, you know what, I'm walking into brick walls a lot. I need to make some changes. And so people tend to be pretty motivated, and we all kind of, everybody tends to be on the same page.
Their eyes are open to what's really been going on
exactly.
for them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If a manager or a supervisor or whatever, or an employee, feels that there's a mental health problem. And they go to EAP. What happens then? Are they referred to some mental health counselor, or is an evaluate, like, you know, if someone comes into the hospital and they're in a situation where they're threatening or whatever, they have a screener, screen them,
mm-hmm.
okay? Evaluate them. Whether they're mental health issue, or whether it's other issues or whatever. And how does it happen with EAP if they have a mental health problem?
Well, they would come in for that initial evaluation. So, for instance, they would come in and meet with me, and I would determine, you know, what type of services would be helpful based on their presentation,
mm-hmm.
and what level of care would be helpful. So if it looks like they need something more intensive, I know Princeton Healthcare offers, you know, kind of all of these wraparound services, a tremendous amount of services. So I would refer them to the particular program, whether it's at Princeton Healthcare, if that's the best thing for this employee, or I would refer them to another type of service that would be best for them. So, you know, those referrals are made after they come into the EAP, and we kind of assess what their needs are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you had someone who you assessed to have a severe mental health problem, would you recommend committing them to Princeton or somewhere else?
To take somebody's control away and put them in a situation where they have, where they're pretty, you know, they're powerless. They are committed to for services. They have to have presented in a certain way, which would be they present as possibly being harmful
to themselves
or somebody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have to be acting really strangely or bizarrely, and safety has to be a concern.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same way it is anywhere else, you know.
Sure.
Right.
With the local hospital is that mm-hmm. way, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I know you said it's confidential. If you're talking about an employee with a mental health problem, is it more confidential than employee who just has money issues or marital problems or something like that?
We're bound by law to not break confidentiality. We could lose our professional license. So regardless of the issue that people come in with, we absolutely respect confidentiality. And, you know, it was that one and only time if there's a safety concern that we can break it. But other than that, we, regardless of whether they come in for financial help or, you know, they're talking about, you know, feeling stressed because they're, you know, both raising kids and caring for elderly parents all in the same mm-hmm. time, or there's a problem at work, we wouldn't break confidentiality. So we really do stick with that.
Okay.
And that's the only way this works, because people can feel confident that they can say things to us that they just can't say elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is why if it was part of the company, I don't know if I'd feel so safe.
That's right.
You
exactly.
know,
mm-hmm.
It would be leaking out, mm-hmm. but it's.
Well, no matter how safe and everything, I think there's still that possibility that it could leak, you know.
Well, you're fearful that
Maybe.
It will leak.
Right.
But like you said, everything, well, you know, as a counselor, you are so bound by that confidentiality. The only way it would leak is if somebody maybe saw him walking in the building, but it's a big building, so they don't even know what office they're walking into. But the person who's walking probably feels the weight of the world on their
sure.
shoulder walking
yeah.
in.
And if they yeah. have a manager or a supervisor that's mouthy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could leak that way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to leak from the person mm-hmm. that's seeking mm-hmm. help. It could be, you know, I've run into when I was working some supervisors who had no sense whatsoever, you know.
Right.
Yeah. they haven't made supervisors beyond me, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know how to explain, how to ask this. Don't get nervous. Okay. how has EAP, I hate acronyms too.
Employee Assistance Program.
I think I told you one time I was on a mental health board and they gave us this thing about acronyms. I thought, we're supposed to learn all these? What are you, out of your mind? Yeah, no. But how does the Employee Assistance Program, how have they evolved to, you know, meet the needs of today's workplace? Because today's workplace isn't what it was 15 years ago
You're right.
10 years ago or even 5 years ago.
You're right. It's interesting. That's true. And I think EAPs are, you know, very agile that way. They do evolve because the needs in the workplace change so dramatically, so quickly. And it's interesting. In fact, they started back in the, say, in the 40s, where there were very large kind of industries and corporations. And the only problem with employees they recognized was employees that were coming in under the influence of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so they started programs for these employees, and the options were pretty limited. They would either retire employees or they would fire employees. Mm-hmm. And they recognized from that there was a need for treatment. And then, you know, later on, work around the, say, 60s or 70s, there was an issue with some workplace violence kind of hit the radar. And so EAPs then evolved to catch up with that new need and started offering workshops. So which we still do to this day. So workshops could be stress management workshops, or they may be workshops for kind of communication skills or any number of issues. So we have maybe 50 different workshops that we may offer, and we customize them to fit the needs of that particular organization all the time. You know, now EAPs have evolved to kind of meet the needs of, there's so many homes where there's two parents working full time, or, you know, if it's a one parent home, one parent working full time, maybe more than one job. There's
sure.
People are having difficulty with, say, work-life balance, not spending time as a family unit. There's so many stressors that come as a result. And so EAPs have kind of evolved to meet those needs now. So workshops, you know, so I think EAPs are pretty flexible that way, and workshops have helped us address some of those issues.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. You know, you had mentioned somebody with alcohol when it started. I know somebody back a few years who worked a lot better when they
under
the influence of alcohol. When they were sober, they were terrible.
You know? Because all they wanted was that drink.
Yeah, and, you know, when they had a few drinks, they did their job very well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like, look the other way, or, you know. So I won't tell you what I did. My role. He worked for me. But, you know, it's true. I mean, he worked better when he had mm-hmm. three or four beers, you know, mm-hmm. and then when he didn't, he was terrible, mm-hmm. you know, and he had a family to support too, you know, mm-hmm. so it was just, you know. Does Princeton House measure the benefits of an EAP program? Like, do they say, oh, this is good, or it's bad, or this didn't work too well, or, you know, whatever the case may be?
So, the return on investment, I don't think Princeton House per se measures, but there are kind of industry-wide measures for return on investment. And actually, studies have shown that, I think it's for every $7, $8.70 an organization invests in their employee. I should say every dollar they invest in an EAP, they return back $8.70. Wow. In fact, there was a huge study done in 2013, and they found that employees before they started working in EAP who were having a very difficult time kind of coping with relationships, that the number when they went into counseling was they were having about 51% of the employees were having a difficult time managing relationships, and after EAP, that number dropped to 5%.
Wow.
And so you see kind of a dramatic...
Pretty significant.
Yeah, really significant. And you know, you can it makes sense that those employees who are just having such an easier time with relationships would go into work feeling, you know, kind of less burdened and being able to collaborate with coworkers and how that would improve the quality of their work. So I think it's you know, several studies have kind of documented that there's a really strong return on investment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're going to let our guests take a deep breath and sit back in their chair and go. So we'll be back in just a few moments. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright and my co-host, Carol Ricard. And we're very privileged to have with us today two very lovely ladies, Robin Marks, who's a publicity, marketing, all that good stuff person for Princeton House, and Susan Weinstein, who is a licensed clinical social worker and the manager of Employee Assistance Program at Princeton Healthcare. Where were we? We left off somewhere. Okay, hang on a minute. I got it.
Well, actually, I wanted to, before you had talked about things that the employee assistance does for other companies, and one of the things that I found striking, like the four of us in this room right now, are very astute with mental health issues. But that's because we know that. The mass population does not know what we just very commonly talk about.
Right.
And one time the employee assistance program was asked to talk to company owners about how to write up a drug policy. And then what are the signs and symptoms of drug use at the workplace? And I was like being a counselor. It's like, how do they not know this? But it's like, I know this because this is what I do.
Right.
The layperson has no idea. Mm-hmm. And that's how, so the employee assistance program can come into a room of managers and say, you know, if the guy's falling asleep at the desk, it's not because of the newborn. It might be because he's been partying all night long. And light bulbs go up over everybody's heads. Like, oh, that's why he's like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Party's hardy. Yeah. But, I know we talked earlier about fitness for duty, return to work evaluations and stuff. Mm-hmm. Are these evaluations frequent like that? I mean, is there a lot of people that have this or is it rare?
It's not rare. It's okay. Pretty common. And it's, you know, sometimes managers know they can just kind of call us and bounce ideas off us. They see something going on in the, like Robin was saying, there's something going on. They don't know what it is. But they can just call us and say, you know, I'm seeing X, Y, Z. Is this something or is this just, you know, something I should wait till it passes? And so, you know, we're available to just kind of hear what's going on. Sometimes those do come, you know, evolve into formal referrals. And so it may be that if we hear about an employer describing an employee and something sounds really concerning, we'll then suggest that, you know what, yes, I think we do need to, you know, follow this more closely than originally we thought.
Okay. Now, we talked about there's different types of employee assistance programs, and they're available, you know, in their marketplace and such. How is Princeton Healthcare's different from many others?
Mm-hmm. There's been a movement recently, and, you know, essentially it's driven by larger organizations and their economies of scale have purchased up smaller EAPs, the smaller independent EAPs. Mm-hmm. So now some of the employee assistance programs are kind of bundled into insurance companies. And they are kind of, I call them the large factory EAPs. They're cheaper for organizations to purchase. But in this situation, you very much, I believe, get what you pay for, whereas the service is not individualized, and it tends to be telephonic or electronic. Mm-hmm. And so Princeton's unique more and more so these days as the smaller ones are kind of being folded into larger insurance companies. It's unique in that all of our accounts are located in New Jersey. And so we are often a physical presence there at the workplace. So we can go to the workplace, meet with leadership, learn the culture of each individual organization, and tailor our services to meet those needs. So we may go on site, and there are organizations that have private rooms that they reserve for us, and we can do counseling there at the workplace if it's, you know, just for the advantage of convenience. We are available to do manager consults in person, so they can either call us or we can go there and meet. So I think Princeton Healthcare is pretty special in that way, and I think that provides a service that's much more clinically effective, you know, for employees when we're meeting with them face to face. And the other thing is, you know, and this is rare, but we do something called a critical incident response, or a CIR. So if ever there's a traumatic event in the workplace, we're available to go to the workplace and do some grief counseling or whatever's needed.
Mm-hmm. Would you go?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
I go.
Okay. How many, I call it staff or whatever that you have in your EAP?
There are four of us.
Okay.
We're a mighty group of four. And so we are all seasoned clinicians, all licensed clinical social
right.
workers, and there's one administrative staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if there's – I know you answered this before. I'm positive. My memory isn't what it used to be as I get younger. But – if you can't handle it, you refer it to an outside source, like legal or whatever.
Or even clinically, if something is not something that we can handle and handle very well, we will find the right service out there. So, you know, part of what we do is direct care. So we'll do direct counseling. Part of what we do is referring people so they get to the place that's the best fit for them.
And it really doesn't matter what the person is suffering from or going through, correct? I mean, it can be mental health, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could
right.
be gambling, it could mm-hmm. be legal problems,
mm-hmm.
Divorce, etc.
Sure, yeah.
If they're, say for argument's sake, it's a marriage thing,
mm-hmm.
do you try to get the spouse to come in and talk before it winds up a divorce, or how does that work?
If they call us, we really kind of take their cues from them. So some couples will want to come in for couples counseling or marriage counseling. Some couples are at a point in the process where one of the couple will call us and they just want to come in and talk individually about kind of their
okay.
experience. Maybe they're not ready for a marriage counseling, or they've already done it and didn't find it particularly helpful. So it's really what they want and what's, you know, they're driving this.
It's, okay.
You know.
It's interesting. You know, like I said, I never realized that it was bought by the company, you
mm-hmm.
know, that
mm-hmm.
has it. I didn't realize that
mm-hmm.
they paid for this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just kind of interesting because it covers a broad spectrum
mm-hmm.
of, you know.
Yeah, it does. It might have started off that way, Larry, you know, back like it was part of the company,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just as it got bigger and better, then
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it got beyond what they could do.
Right.
Yeah. Robin.
Yes, sir.
You got to tell me. You know my favorite story.
I know your favorite story.
Right. Would you like to tell that real, you know, couple minutes that we have left?
Yes, sir. What the story that Larry's referring to is, how did Princeton House Behavioral Health come to be?
Right.
And for those that are local, they might remember the small little community hospital in downtown Princeton, right on Witherspoon, just kind of tucked in a neighborhood. And it was an old hospital, and 43 years ago, they were looking to take their psychiatric or their behavioral health unit out of the hospital and put it someplace else. And they're looking around, where can I put it? And that personality and entertainer, Kitty Carlisle, from What's My Line.
I loved her. Oh.
And she had built a retirement place, kind of like equal to like a nursing home for those in the entertainment industry, on the outskirts of Princeton proper, for people to wind down their years in this small little facility. Tucked in the woods, very nice. But she was an entertainer, not a businesswoman. So when Princeton Medical Center was looking for a behavioral health place, they approached her and said, Kitty, we'll take that off your hands. And so she sold that building to them. And 43 years ago, it was smaller than it is today. And basically, it had a psychiatric wing and an addiction wing. And people would come with 3 months' worth of clothing in a suitcase and just kind of hunker down. The doors weren't locked. It was just people would go on weekend passes and come back. And it was, I mean, you could follow the trend of the history of psychiatric care by just how the transformation of behavioral health in Princeton House has gone. Now, then the census, if it was 45 people, that was a lot. And now we are pretty much full at 110 beds every day.
Right. Was the 100 and have two beds, one bed? I can't remember.
Oh, their behavioral health unit? I think 12.
Is it 12? Is it that many? Yeah. I didn't think it was that many.
Yeah, they got more than two.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the thing that makes them different, too, is they do not have any commitment beds at 100 and they're.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, they have two central, but that's not they have them up there for a while till they find some place where they can either release them or, you know, transfer them to. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just find it so interesting. And, you know, it seems like your job, Susan, mm-hmm. is very diverse. Actually, because you've got all sorts of different problems. It's not like you're facing the same thing every day. You know, somebody that's dealing with mental health, they're facing pretty much the same problems every day. I mean, mm-hmm. it may be diverted a little here and there, but it's mm-hmm. still pretty much the same. Where you're dealing with a broad band of mm-hmm. problems mm-hmm. and situations. And let me ask you something. If, in your experience, since you've been doing this with Princeton Health, do you find that most of the employees who are either recommended to your program by counselors or not counselors, but supervisors or managers, do you find most of them succeed and go back to work?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think. But just to get back to your point. You know, if somebody, for instance, if you were mentioning it's such a kind of a broad range of things that we offer, but if somebody comes in, for instance, I don't know much about eating disorders. So if somebody were to come in with what sounds to me like an eating disorder, I wouldn't for a moment try to work with them. I would refer them on. So, you know, we do offer evaluations for a broad range, but if it sounds to us like somebody's outside of our areas of expertise, then on they go, and we'll make sure they get there and arrive there. But so I just want to make that clear.
So you do have a list of people that would refer to that
we
you
have,
can't.
Yeah, we have resources all over the state. Hundreds.
We have a long list. Yeah,
we have,
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And and the majority, not all, but I would say the majority of folks that are required to come to us maybe won't thank us right away, but eventually get to a point where they see the wisdom. But some of them, you know, do on our last visit do say thanks. You know, this was a hard pill to swallow, but I see how much happier and I am now, and you know how my decisions are different now and my relationships are better. So
it's just amazing, actually. You know, where I was, the corporation I was in didn't have that. They, you know, worked it through HR or or through management, you know. And so it's nice to, you know, to see that, you know, especially someone is, you know, I mean, Princeton House is pretty big. It's not just a little tiny corporation there. Right. You know, it's fairly large that, you know, basically I think they have to want their employees to succeed and stay with them. So basically that's why they have this. You know, as if they didn't, they would just say, okay, see you.
But yeah. It's expensive to hire new employees and retrain them, right? Retention is always the goal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you have employees, particular employees that are good performers, then, you know, corporations should be and usually are invested in keeping them.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to put a a bottle cap on a conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another to deal with, you know, mental health issues or addiction problems or alcoholism or, you know, whatever. You know, it's and I'm sure that you have people that are, if they're dealing, if they're counselors of some sort or other and they have a problem, you know, it would take a lot of money to retrain someone or train someone else off the street to your way of doing things,
right?
Because not everybody does them the same way.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to reach out to you, Susan, how would they?
So
do
we
that?
Have an 800 number. Well, yeah. Well, I'll give my direct dial. How's that?
Well, either one.
Okay. So
whatever
I'll
you're comfortable
so my
with.
Direct number is 609-688-3212, and that comes directly to me.
Why don't you do it again? Because somebody's out there still writing.
Okay.
Now.
It's 609-688-3212.
Robin?
And then for admissions, or, you know, let me give out my number also.
Go ahead.
Just in case somebody says, well, she said something I didn't quite get, just call me directly at 609-902-3006. So 609-902-3006. And I can give you information about Princeton House Behavioral Health, or actually I've been doing this a while that I could do give information about a number of places and sometimes refer out, like she's saying, for different different services that we might not be able to provide.
And if someone wanted to just look on, you have a website, I would assume, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Do you?
We have a website off. It's the princetonhealthcare.org/EAP.
Okay.
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not hard.
And then Princeton House is really easy. It's princetonhouse.org.
Well, that's simple,
that's easy, too.
Both.
Well, I just want to thank you both for coming.
Oh, and, thank you.
Thank
Larry.
You for having us. It was a pleasure.
And it you didn't faint, so therefore... So
not that anybody here can see.
But I really want to thank you both for coming because it's been it's been very informative for me.
Mm-hmm.
And... Robin, you got to come back again, you know, as usual, you know.
Well, Larry and I have been doing this for years now,
I think. Yeah. It seems like years.
Yeah. It's only been 3 weeks.
It's only been a month. But, you know. But anyway.
It's been a slow month.
But I want to thank you again, you know. And Susan, anytime you want to come back, just get a hold of Robin.
Thank
she knows
you so
how to
much
get a hold
for having
of me.
Me.
You know, it was a pleasure.
Likewise.
And you've been listening to Mental Health Matters, folks. And remember, we'll be here next week, same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he was.